Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on September 4th, 2016, and is entitled, A Forever Faith Finish.
We want to thank you for the privilege that we have to gather around the Word, your Word, the Word of God. And that, Lord, as we do, Lord, whatever level of growth or relationship we are with you, then Lord, you know. And thank you for depositing those things that bring life and direction to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. And what a wonderful morning this is. While I grab my Bible, I hope that you'll take a look at the back of the bulletin as well. If you don't happen to have a Bible and we bring up the house lights, we're going to look for hands going up. We'll be happy to just present you with a Bible to use today. We're just going to get ourselves situated. Well, today we're taking a look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And we are actually in a sermon series. And can you believe it? We are finishing 1 Peter. Whoa! 28 weeks and counting. We are finishing. The title of the message, there it is, A Forever Faith Finish. That's the message of today. We're looking at the last few verses that are listed here this morning, and we are going to finish well. How many remember when we were together, we had an opportunity when we started this series, we used the analogy of a contract person who was a building contractor, and that he was a wonderful builder, but time came for him to retire. And the owner of the building company, who just loved and valued his worker, this contractor, said, I'm going to ask you, I know your retirement date is here, but would you do me a favor? I have one more house for you to build. Please build this house for me. The contractor said, I don't want to. I have my date set. I really need to get on with my vacation and my retirement. And eventually, because he was such a loyal employee, he said, I will build this house. But because his heart wasn't in it, he went about it with shoddy material, with less than skilled workers. When it came time to present it to the owner saying, hey, I've done what you've asked. Here's the house you requested of me. That the owner didn't even look at it. He just told the contractor, he says, here's the keys to the house you just built for yourself. And the contractor said, oh, man, if I knew I was building this house for me, I would have gone at it in a different way. That's really how we're taking a look at this epistle. We're coming down to a forever faith and finishing well. When we look at a finish line, and like an athlete who has endured hardship and strain and toil just in preparation for a race, they often look at the finish line. Isn't that true? I mean, they realize, like, man, I finished. I remember I did track and field my freshman year in high school. Then I quit because I stunk at it. But I remember, well, I actually wrestled and I did football. And I thought, well, I'm going to be a three-letter, letterman, be like Mr. Big Shot. But that didn't work out. Because the track and field coach said, well, you got to run a six-minute mile. I said, wow, no way. How about a seven-minute mile? No. And then it eventually came down to an eight-minute mile. And all I remember is, finish line. I don't care what was going on. Oftentimes, just want to come through and finish well, or just finish. A great sprinter that we all know, Maurice Green, said this about a runner. He says, when the gun fires, you must concentrate for every second on the way to that finish line. You should know exactly how long it will take you and to think about every step of the race you are about to run. So a runner doesn't just look at the finish line. Man, they can calculate how many steps it's going to take for that sprint. They know how much it's going to require for them to accelerate at certain times. They've calculated it. And as believers in Jesus, as we take a look at Peter's writings here, he's coming down and he's finishing well. And he's bringing in all these things in these little verses. He's bringing in all these things that we've talked about over these weeks, culminating saying, man, here it is, here it is. We are going to finish. And we are talking about a forever faith saying, man, I have built my faith, and there's no regrets. But let's take a look here. I'm looking at verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 to the end. It says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect, together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen." What an amazing thing. Can you imagine? Here we've got listed here the letters. I mean, stood the test of time. Brilliant people have so tried to attack the Bible, and it still stands today. And you and I know that this book is not just some novel. I mean, it changes lives. And we have Peter, one of the apostles everybody is aware of, one of those pillars in the church, and he's writing to Christians scattered who are persecuted, and they are suffering. Coming to the end of the letter, and you notice here in verse 12, it says, "By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him." Silvanus is another way, basically, it's a formal name for Silas. We all know who Silas was. He was the traveling partner to Paul. But he was really, Peter was dictating to Silvanus. He was writing the letter. So what we have here, it's kind of like Paul saying, "Now, let me have the quill, let me have the pen. I'm going to write the last few lines here." Man. So off he goes. And he's writing six things we're going to say that Christian athletes on the track of life should consider, because it's listed right here to make the finish line. Here we go. Number one, look at your notes. God's character. Verse 10 once again. God of all grace. Verse 10, "But may the God of all grace..." Stop right there. Let's take a look at God's character. One of the titles, great titles of God. Peter nails it here. The God of all grace. Isn't that amazing? Now, Paul, remember when he came along, and he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, he called him the God of all comfort. When God came on the scene and he starts to reveal himself to Moses and that mass of humanity out there in the wilderness wandering, he said in Exodus 34, verse 6, God announced himself and said, "I am the Lord God, merciful and gracious." Now, that's a great way, Peter, right away, the God of all grace. Now, he could have said the God of all fairness, the God of all justice, the God of all truth. All those things are great and true. But he says, here it is, the God of all grace. And isn't it true? Sometimes we might forget, as Christians, we forget about how gracious and how full of grace God is. You can see it in some Christians sometimes. Christian comes along, "Oh yeah, I'm born again, I've accepted Christ." True, they are Christian. But they forget about the God of all grace, because you see it in their attitude. It's a judgmental attitude. Man, it's like a toxic character. You don't want to be around them. What is wrong with you? Where's that God of all grace? And so it really comes along in Psalm 86:15. "You, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious." Now, why is this so important? And I'm telling you, it really is. And on this Communion Sunday, friends, the very covenant you and I are in is because God is all about grace. In John chapter 1, verse 17, John 1:17, it says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. When you take a look at the law, remember that, the Ten Commandments, and under the law, God demanded righteousness from man. But under grace, he gives righteousness. There's a difference there. What is it saying in John? Man, through the law given by Moses, through the law comes along, and all of a sudden, righteousness is based on our good works. You want to be right with God? You better do something good. But under God's grace, it's under one act of good works, Jesus on the cross. If you catch that, you're going to understand the God of all grace. When it comes right down to under the law, man, it comes along just one sin. One sin would make you a sinner. That's what James says. You go ahead, go ahead. You want to keep the law? One sin. You've broken now all the law. But through grace, we come along here and we have one Savior and He fixes it all. Man, God of all grace, I need it. I need it. I see it. Long for that. So the simple form, grace is how God deals with you. Man. And it's based on what really He desires to give you through Jesus. I like the acronym of grace. If you do an acronym, grace could be spelled, laid out this way, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches for you at Christ's expense. Grace. 2 Corinthians 5:21, my favorite Bible verse, says that God made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, become sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. What a great exchange. I mean, a great exchange. You want a deal, I give God all my bad and I get all the good. That is, man, I love a good deal. So, God treated Jesus like you deserved to be treated so that He can treat you like Jesus really deserves to be treated. That's grace, God of all grace. So, friends, if it comes down to that, and somebody comes and just kind of looks at you sour-like, watch out. And you think that they may be somebody, a part of the church, and they give you the scowl. Let me just tell you, that is not the character of God. That is not. Don't go equating God the way somebody looks at you as some stink eye. Don't do that. God is the God of all grace. Please remember that. Sometimes people equate God the way people look at you or treat you or don't treat you or don't pay attention to you. Don't we love that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace? It has that line, 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far. Grace will lead me home. Man, God of all grace. I like it. Man, is Peter nailing it. Let's take a look at the second one, God's calling. Let's look at verse 10 once again. Called us to His eternal glory. So, verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory, stop right there. When we look here, God's purpose for my life, yours, is to include eternal life. You won't get there unless you experience the first we just talked about. Eternal life is a pipe dream for somebody that does not understand the grace of God. Remember when Jesus prayed in John 17:24 to His Father, He said, Father, I want all those that You have given to Me to be with Me where I am, that where they may see My glory. Well, that prayer is yet to be really a conclusion, but that's the desire of Jesus, for you to see His glory. Man, and it's based on the first truth, the God of all grace. I love talking about heaven. I talk about it. I teach on eternal life. Man, one day I'm going to see it. You will too. We're going to say, what is that? Is that it? We've only just heard. Woo. Oh. Man. And look over there. I think we're there. Hot dog. Man, can you imagine God's calling where? Calling you to His eternal glory. It's listed there. It's in the Word of God. What Peter was trying to do, he's taking a look at some suffering Christians that aren't feeling very good and said, man, raise your horizon. Don't look on this planet. There is a place you are going. Check it out. Don't stall out and only be where you're at. Look beyond your hurt. Check it out what God has. The Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, he said this, If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable or most miserable. Is this all there is? Oh, we know that. But we often forget, don't we? Often forget. When was the last time you just kind of engaged? Man, don't forget heaven. When was the last time somebody brought up and said, don't forget? We're on our way to glory, eternal life. That's a long time, by the way. I like 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Great rendering. Something you need to tuck in the sleeve of your Bible, but it's there to begin with, but just point it out. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And it goes on and it nails that too. It says, don't look at the visible stuff, because that is all going to be gone. What happened to my car? Burned up. What happened to my home? Gone. Even the oceans and the mountains, they're going to be renewed. But the things you don't see, those things are eternal. So fix your eyes on the horizon. Look forward to what's beyond. I was at an Angel game, and you know, you're waiting for the fireworks and poor angels. But anyway, and these guys near us, they are just one beer after another beer after another beer, and we're waiting for the Angel game, and through their sloshy vocabulary, one guy toasts the other and says, it doesn't get any better than this. I'm thinking, really? Can I tell you what's ahead for those who believe in Jesus? Really? Oh, if this is it, come on. Come on. Some people are locked on this terra firma as if this is all they've got, and they get into such mortal combat over stuff. Like, come on. Let's lift our eyes. I like what C.S. Lewis had to say. He says, if you read history and you find that the Christians who did the most for this present world were those who thought most about the next. That aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. And focus in on eternal life. Take a look at number three. So we've got God's character, God's calling. Number three, God's condition by Christ Jesus. So verse 10, but may the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus stop. Take a look at that. You're not automatically going to enjoy God's grace, and you're not going to be in eternal life unless it's exclusive through Jesus Christ. That's, you know, some people really, they come after me like, well, that's what I hate about you, like Christians, Jack. You're just so, like, narrow-minded. I said, oh, come on. It is narrow, Jesus. John 14:6, it's Jesus who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But I tell them, and I'm telling us, it's open for everybody to come in. Everybody, everybody. God so loved the world. Everybody, come on in. Just file on in. By Christ Jesus. So when we look here, can't enjoy the first two. No way. When we take a look, it's kind of like I've got my iPhone here, and it's on this cool case. I know you all want one, don't you? But I said, I'm going to give you this case. You say, well, thank you. And then you take hold of it. Guess what comes with it? An iPhone. Woohoo! Now, if you go to some store and you buy your $20 iPhone case, you say, hey, does the phone come with it? No way. Kind of with Jesus. You accept Jesus, and there's a lot that comes with him. It's an amazing thing how some things look like they appear. But in Jesus, we get a lot. It is an amazing thing. I think we're going to be surprised what kind of people are actually invited into glory and make it. We're going to be surprised who didn't quite make it. A little story about a guy who was just really complaining about his bad, and he was an evil brother, part of the mafia family. He went to the little church pastor and said, we want you to eulogize our deceased brother. We know he was a terror to the community, but we want you to do the memorial service. The pastor said, no way, this guy was bad apples, and nobody liked him. So the mafia brothers said, well, would $250,000 help the building fund? So, well, let's see if I will do it. So during the ceremony, he got up there and he says about this deceased man. This guy was a cutthroat. He ruined people's lives, ripped off grandmothers, stole from bank accounts, just harmed our environment, and disrupted everything we know of just this sane kind of existence of life here in our community. But compared to his brothers, he's a saint. That's how he did. Okay. I think he didn't get the money, but how's that? When we look here, number four, let's check it out. God's curriculum, after you have suffered a while. Check it out with me. We're back there. Verse 10 says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Let's stop there. What is that curriculum? Have you been a part of that curriculum? Why did he write that? Well, naturally, you and I know we have looked over his letter, and he's addressing people that have lost loved ones and properties, and they still profess faith in Jesus. And so when we take a look at part of God's curriculum is the element of pain. Everybody experiences pain in life. Life is not a perfect situation. But for the Christian, pain actually matures a person. It actually benefits a Christian. A non-Christian, pain's just part of the process. And I thank God for some of the pain I went through prior to surrendering my life to the Lord. It really led me to Jesus. I thank God. Many of you, those, it's a similar story. We thank God for those things that brought us to our knees. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't. But for the believer, we recognize how God works, and that's what he's addressing here. Romans 8:28, knowing that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. There is a condition there. All things work together for good, but don't just stop memorizing that part to those who love God and are called. See, all things work together for good. It's an amazing thing that God is able to do. It's like salt. When you put together sodium and chloride, you come up with salt. You have those individually. You take sodium too much, it will ruin you. You might not survive. And chlorine, the same thing. You have too much of that, it's not going to be good. You put it together, and it actually is beneficial unless you have high blood pressure. Don't do it. How's that? So it's important that we come along here. The right combination. God says, I can take the bad, the worst, and the good, put it together, and it will be an amazing experience for you. Only God can do that. Only God. So when we look here, we see that word. Look in your Bible. Verse 10 says, after you have suffered a while. I circled it. It's not permanent. Pete's bringing up the fact saying, in comparison to eternal life, this is just a little glitch on your radar screen. A while, just a little while. You remember the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:1-10? Check it out, 2 Corinthians 12:1-10. He talks about this thorn in his flesh. He says, I asked God 3 times to take this thing away. I was putting together some pygmy palm branches after clipping it, and I had my gloves on, and those things are sharp, and I got a thorn in my flesh. I'm not kidding. And it actually festered up, if you've ever had one. I mean, it influenced my whole couple of days till I could kind of get that thing out. It's disruptive and stop being living or productive, but I understood when Apostle Paul says, I've got this thorn in my flesh, and I ask God, take it away. Then he realized why it was there. Keep him from being proud. I mean, that guy wrote the majority of the New Testament. He saw some tremendous visions of God. You might be the latest circuit preacher in Orange County. So the Lord eliminated that by just saying, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. And Then the Apostle Paul did something that was amazing. He said, I will boast in my weakness, and I'm going to glorify God. That is such maturity. That is such maturity. Sometimes maturity will not come any other way, except through those areas. We take a look here, Psalms 119, 71. David, in Psalm 119, 71, he said, it was good that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. So I try to comfort and help people, but sometimes we want to pray and say, Lord, what are you saying here, and what are you doing with my family, because I want to cooperate with your will. Sometimes we can rush right on in and help somebody, but they never learn the object lesson. No maturity. We just go from one victory to the next. It's kind of like a little bit of a shallow person. Have you ever come across a shallow person? We can develop them as children. When we provide for everything a child needs with no direction or character building, and then you can't eventually do enough to enhance the child's excitement because they're kind of shallow. Hey, we're going to go to Disneyland. Yeah, okay. But we're going to get everything you ever wanted to eat and all the cotton candy. Yeah, super. Really? You can't create enough excitement. But I'm telling you, you have somebody go through some hard knocks where there's a no every now and then. I developed some maturity. I mean, it's a great week this week. I love it when it's, don't you? Ah. And some of that pain and suffering builds great maturity, and that's in there. Just for a while. Job had to deal with that when his wife was saying, go ahead and curse God. Look at you, Job. You're a wreck. Your health is gone. We've lost all the kids. I'm ticked off. Man, all of our investments are ruined. And then in Job chapter 2, verse 10, he says this. He says, oh, yeah, God would come along. Should we not accept also the challenges and the difficulty? He comes in there and he says, you speak like one of those shallow persons, some of those debased persons and difficult people. He says to her, he says, shall we accept only good from God? Shall we not accept adversity? That's maturity. God's been good to us in both directions. So when we look here, it's important. Number five, God's commitment. Let's take a look at that. Let's go a little bit further. It says here in verse 10, it says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Look at just that for a moment here. Isn't it interesting? Because that's God's intention. Commitment when it comes to that. And those words are synonymous. It's amazing when it comes there. He's giving really, he's stacking up this verbiage to make a point. There's a lot going on when facing those experiences. And so as the Lord deals with that, you've got to be careful. The adversary, remember we were in verse 8 and verse 9, be sober, be vigilant, adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Remember we were there last week, if you missed that, you can hear it online. Sometimes it could wear on a person and forget, wow, what's going on in our life? But we can see here God's trying to settle a person, establish, perfect, strengthen. And it's wonderful when we recognize that. Number six, God's compensation. What's in it for God? What does the Bible have to say about that? Verse 11 comes in, to him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And here we have this, all of a sudden, Peter's like, this is so good, I got to bring in my benediction right here, which is really a praise. I've just got to praise God. That's verse, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wow. That's what he's doing here. Let me inject. That's how he's bringing. Let's bring it all the glory to God. When the Lord has treated us, I'm telling you, when the time comes and we are there and eternal life is experienced in glory, we're seeing it. you and I will see everything clearly and understand, ah, I understand now what the Lord was doing in the worst possible place at that time of my life. Like, wow, glory to God. When you see a person give a benediction like that, they recognize that, and that's why he's even bringing that up. He says, after you suffer a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And he said, man, to him be glory. So if you've ever been in some very difficult situations and you start to see God's moving, God is on the move, I say, wow, great God and Savior. So the worst place you can be in a race is sleeping on the side of the track, isn't that true? And people are doing things. Can you imagine a Christian just sleeping, saying, I don't really need to get into a discipleship class. I'm not really into reading the Bible. It's kind of, I'm taking a long break from that. Can you imagine? You know, I only pray when I have needs. The world's going to fall where it falls. I don't need to be involved. That's a person that's asleep on the track. We have to be careful about that. Remember the storyline of the contractor says, I'm just going to throw shoddy material in. I'm tired. I'm ready to retire. Let's let somebody else do that. God says, no, I've got one more building structure. I'm doing something in you. Nah, I'll just kind of throw in whatever I can. Then we realize, oh, I wish I finished my race well. Not so much how you begin, friends. It's how you finish. Certainly have seen some people not finish their race. So God's calling us in this wonderful communion time. And let me lead us in a prayer. Let's pray right now. Would you close your Bibles with me? Father, we want to thank you. As we conclude 1 Peter, we want to finish this race of life with strength, with honor, with dignity, integrity. Even if we were fallen, we have a wonderful Father, God of all grace, undeserved favor that flows freely from the cross to us, even today, even now. God who loves to forgive us. Lord, you just love to forgive. As the Word says, Lord, you have begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now as we bow our heads, Lord, move among us. Maybe while you're bowing your head, maybe there's some of us that are not really sure of eternal life. It's going to come. Some of us are going to spend eternity in another place. But if you are not sure about eternal life, make sure of that right now. You need the Lord in your life. It's not enough to have your parents saved or your friend who brought you saved, but you want to accept Christ. Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need the Lord. I want God in my life. Let's make that a declaration. Do that right now. Thank you. Go ahead and put that hand down. Thank you. Thank you. Or you need to just recommit your life to the Lord. Something stirring in my heart. God's been so good, and I get it. I have not been good, but God's good, and I want to come and enjoy that relationship. Make my life really matter helping others. Is there anyone else like that too? Just your hand up. Thank you. Hand down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For these eight hands, anyone else? Most important time, thank you. Go ahead and put that hand down. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Love the Lord, and you know He loves you. That's why many of you are just making that response. But it's helpful to just acknowledge such. Well, let me lead us all in a prayer, but for those 10 hands, as well as possibility of some of you just maybe didn't raise your hand, but you just know the Lord's moving on your life. Let's pray this out loud, saying, Lord, I surrender my life. That's really the prayer. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I confess to you now my sins. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things that I've done against you and against others. Jesus, come in now. Be a part of my life. Stay. Help me, Lord, to live for you. I choose to give my life to you. I trust you now for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, that's wonderful. I want to thank you, for you who raised your hand or you who prayed that prayer, and the Lord knows. Luke 15, when one sinner repents, all the angels in heaven rejoice. Check it out, Luke 15, 7 and 10. Because of the cross, the impact of our Savior is going on. If, in fact, you prayed that prayer, I am encouraging you to get to our welcome center. Make sure you'll meet one of our pastors. We want to give you a Bible, and now that you're a Christian, we want to get you on the right track. You and get into our life groups, only because we just know the perilous times that we're in. We need each other. We're just so glad that you're here. Just keep coming. Well, I want to welcome you to stand, and I'm going to pray you off a blessing. What a wonderful experience today was for so many of you. Matter of fact, can we put our hands together for the many people that really made... And I want to just thank you, too. We have individuals that are here to pray for you, and I need to pray you off so that some of the parents can go get their children, then come on back and receive prayer if you need a miracle or just agreement in prayer. But thank you. Let me pray right now. Please come back. We want you to come back to Hope Chapel. Bring your friends. In fact, bring your enemies. They get saved, things will be all right. How's that? Father, we just love you. And thank you for the goodness. What a sweet communion it has been. And what a dynamic experience it has been just to see what Christians do when we get together in worship and in the Word. It transforms us. Your presence transforms us. And Lord, as we go now, specifically for those that have acknowledged their need for you and have done the same with confessing with their mouth and believing in their heart according to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Your word says they are saved. Let that salvation ring into their homes, relationships, into their finances, into their future, into their study places and work environment. Lord, for all of us, Lord, as we enjoy this Labor Day weekend, a profound impact that you've made just because we spent a little time with you. May the rest of our time this week be filled with miracles of recognition. God is with you. God has saved you. And God will be with you. Jesus. Amen. Friends, thank you for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you out front.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.